This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You want some news? You want some news, you say? Well, I'll give you some news. They've canceled the New York International Auto Show, South by Southwest, the Geneva Auto Show. What's next? I don't know. BJ Colleen joining me, automotive expert, voice of reason in the automotive journalistic world and in my life. What are we going to do now, BJ?
Alan, I'm sitting in my plastic bubble, so don't talk to me, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't breathe on me, don't cough on me, don't spit on me. It's funny. They haven't canceled it. They just postponed it till August.
Well,
that's August in New York. Fun time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, it. You're right. You're absolutely right. They didn't cancel it. They postponed it for, you know, what? Let's see. April, all of April, because April 6th was when I was supposed to be on TV over there with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. So that's probably not going to happen unless they have some other ideas. But so April, May, June, July, and almost all of August, 5 months, almost a half a year later. But they're getting into the hot months where viruses can't survive as well as easy, I guess. So I don't know. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
To me, it's the media creating this craziness. You know, yes, there are illnesses, but the truth is that the flu kills more people than this coronavirus. And
10 times, it's just 20 times more, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so it'll be press days are going to be August 26th and 27th. The show is going to go from August 28th to September 6th. So luckily the Javits Center had an opening then. Otherwise, who knows what they would have done. But, you know, this begs the question now. Detroit Auto Show is in June. So are they going to cancel that? You know, it's like, it's crazy. The best one who looks the best is the LA Auto Show because it's, what, November?
Right.
So maybe by then all this craziness will clear out and it'll just be packed at that show. I just don't know, you know. And I'm in Las Vegas and apparently half the casinos are going to shut down their buffet after Sunday because they don't want people getting sick just in case. It is just out of control.
Well,
so
I also just got another email. Something else got, let's see here. Something else got canceled. What was it?
Automotive-wise?
No.
Coachella was canceled. You know, the music festival, that was done.
Oh, my gosh. Well, all I can tell you is it was a NetSuite, the company that a gigantic Oracle event that is what they call Suite World. Here it is. Oracle's NetSuite Suite World canceled and moved to August 10 through 13. Another huge event with, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of attendees. And I think, you know, I mean, I guess I don't want to sound stupid here. Stupid is as stupid does, so I'll say it anyway. I guess it's probably the smart and prudent thing to do in a world of pandemic insanity. So,
well, basically, all you're doing is causing a panic situation where they've already said that 70% of the people who had coronavirus in China have recovered already.
Right.
So the truth is, it's just another strain of the flu, another strain of SARS, another strain of MERS. They didn't do all this for that. So I don't know if it's the political climate. I don't know if just people being crazy. I mean, they're stockpiling toilet paper. Why? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, nobody wants a dirty tush. Come on.
Nobody even said that's even a symptom or a sign of the disease. So it's just out of control. But, you know, you're doing damage, and forget the stocks. You're just doing damage to people that don't have jobs to go to, you know, and all the people that work at the buffet and all the cooks and all the people that, you know, are doing certain jobs and restaurants and stuff. I mean, you're ruining basically their lives because they can't make a livelihood. So. Yeah. You know, the media has done a tremendous job of really messing this up, and they didn't have to make it such a giant focus. And yes, there are deaths from this, but nothing even close to what's going on with the flu. And you don't see anybody blowing that out of proportion like it should be. Right. So it's just crazy.
Agreed.
Just crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll get off my soapbox.
This is Chicken Foot. And I was going to play Another One Bites the Dust for the New York Auto Show, but this one's just called Down the Drain. The band is Chickenfoot. We'll take a little break. Come back and talk about other car news and things that are going on in our world. We're part of Drive Tribe now. Go download the app for Drive Tribe and start your own tribe or join mine. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Take a lot of toilet paper, evidently. that seems to be the new theme. We evidently need more toilet paper than we ever knew we needed until the virus hit. BJ Colleen joining me. I'm Alan Taylor. And what do you got going on, BJ?
Well, it's interesting because you talk about people losing jobs because of this virus, but that's a temporary thing. But Goodyear has actually created a biodegradable concept tire that can regenerate its own tread.
What?
Which means you don't have to check for tire pressures. You don't have to ever buy new tires because it has to, because it just regenerates it. It's called Recharge, and that's the name of the concept tire. And basically, what it does as it rolls down the road, there's a reloadable liquid compound that recharges by capsules. And in the capsule, it's a compound of a mixture of dandelion rubber and fibers that's kind of like spider silk. And if you know the industry, they've been trying to figure out how the spider's silk is so strong and how they can use it, because it is one of the toughest raw materials in nature. So what's cool is the Recharge would take this as a paste and pass it through pipes to the wheel surface where it instantly hardens into new tread. So as you're driving down the road and the tread is being worn from all different situations, these little canisters would just keep shooting this stuff out and constantly regenerating this tread. So you don't need to worry about air pressure or anything like that.
I had this idea years ago to make tires out of roadkill. You got endless supply. You just run it over, the tire grabs it and throws it into a... Anyway, it's a long story. I had it all drawn out and the patent office wouldn't give it to me.
Well, because you got to kill defenseless animals. You don't
no,
do
no, no. It's the roadkill already dead. It's just, you know, you're not aiming for it.
Clean them.
Anyway, yeah, it was a whole environmental protection thing and no patents available for this. I don't know. You know what?
Well, luckily.
And what? It's in the same file in my cabinet with the reusable toilet paper, of which I'm pulling back out. Right?
You have I don't want to see that cabinet ever. Thank you. Or that file. I don't want anything to do with it.
That's an amazing invention.
But, you know, the other cool thing about this is because, you know, people change their tires for the heat, for summer conditions, for winter tires. And again, you wouldn't have to do that because the way the Recharge system works, it kind of mutates to the surface to accommodate any of those conditions. So the only thing you'd be doing is buying the capsules with the liquid compound. And a lot of those are already stored in the hub of the wheel. So they haven't said,
bizarre,
you know, if you have to bring the car in to get the tires recharged, or you can just load them up yourself. But it's pretty cool if we can actually make this happen. It'd be pretty neat. Put a lot of tire shops out of business. But think of the savings, because, you know, recycling rubber tires is ginormous to how they have to do that. It's kind of cool.
No, I get it. Do you know why the patent office would not give me the patent? Because when I told them about my reusable toilet paper, they said this has already been done in the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And he says we called it a diaper. The baby poops in it, you wash it, and you use it again. Reusable toilet paper. It's like, if we can't get toilet paper, that's what we're going to have to do, you know. We're going to get the old diapers out, you know. Anyway.
Or just buy a bidet and do it the hygienic way.
The bidets are all sold out. Guaranteed. That's all anybody's talking about online right now is a bidet. Let me tell you, if I use a bidet, I still want to wipe the tush. You know,
But, you know, a bidet is not just that easy. You don't just buy one. You have to find some place to put
plumber,
it. You
got
to get
the
plumber to put it in. You know, it's not. It's an addition to the toilet.
Trust me, it's not a toilet. Trust me. I have a red eyeball still from getting squirted in the eye with the bidet when I was trying to install mine last week. It's not as easy as people think.
You didn't put a bidet in.
No, I didn't.
You're not that classy.
Let me just tell you something. That's just funny stuff. All right. So let me ask you now, where can this information be found? How would you Google it to find it? Because we should either that or we should post it. This sounds like very science fiction-y. You know what I mean? This tire, regenerating tire.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, you can go to Goodyear and look it up. Or Goodyear. I actually found it on a website called Tech Explorer. TechExplorer.com. Mm. And it's a pretty cool site. And I'm going to come and visit it a little bit more often because they have all the new tech for all different categories. And they have one specifically for automotive. So, you know, I did see this and I thought it was pretty cool because, you know, we've talked about the Tweel tire from Michelin where it doesn't have to have air in it. And we've talked about nitrogen filled tires. Matter of fact, my Corsair has nitrogen air in the tires, so that's a plus too. But when you can add regular air, so it's not like anything's going to happen, but just better for fuel economy and mileage and things like that. But this one is just a entirely new concept. Again, it's a concept, tire, nothing permanent yet. So
I think it's brilliant. It's akin to the glow in the dark condoms. There's so many amazing things going on in our technological world these days. Just here, another one from Goodyear. We'll take a little break. This is, again, Chickenfoot, which is Michael Anthony from Michael Anthony from
Van Halen.
Van Halen. What am I got? Led Zeppelin. It's because I'm looking at songs up here. We'll take a little break. BJ Colleen, see, the voice of reason in my world. It is The Drive.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Drive with Alan Taylor.
And by the way, BJ Colleen here. Do not forget that the Dodge Power Dollars event is still going on. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. And so they say, tell them about our get. You get $10 off for each horsepower when you buy a new car. So let's just say you pick out, let me see if I can get one here. Yes, a Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack. 485 horsepower. Do the math. $4,850 off cash allowance. That's a hell of a deal. Check your local dealer and, great deals out there to be had. Not going to go on forever. You know, we were talking a little bit about that whole coronavirus and all that garbage. And there is going to be a shortage of sorts in some of these automakers that, you know, and it could be all of them that are going to be waiting for little giblets of little pieces of things that will eventually come in a little one by one square box that maybe just plug in, or maybe the thing that holds your sun visor from falling down, little stupid things that are made in China that are probably not going to arrive on time. So it's an interesting time in the auto industry. So there you go.
Well, it's true. And people aren't out there buying cars. So, you know, are they going to be putting price on the hood, you know, and maybe because Italy's basically closed down, can you get your Ferrari for half off because they're not building it right?
I doubt it. You know,
me too. Yep. I was just hoping.
What other news you got there, girly girl?
All right. So we know it's an election year, and we know pretty much where all the people stand. Everybody's pretty much fallen out. So we're kind of down to Trump, Sanders, and our friend Joe Biden. So, you know, if you can't decide who to vote for, I figure let's tell you what they're driving and then maybe you can make your decision that way. What do you think?
Fair enough.
All right. So Joe Biden drives a green 1967 Chevrolet Corvette Stingray that he got as a wedding gift from his father.
Wow.
And apparently he did some burnouts on Jay Leno's show.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
As much as adult he is, that's actually a pretty decent vehicle. So,
you mean adult or dolt?
Adult, D-O-L-T.
That's what I
not adult.
Poor guy. Anyway,
all right. So that's what Joe Biden drives. Now, Trump, we know, is running around in the Beast, but he actually owns a very nice collection of luxury and performance cars, including a Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren.
Wow.
He owns a 56 Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud. He has a Tesla Roadster and a 2011 Chevy Camaro Indy 500 pace car.
Really?
So just on that alone, it's worth voting for.
Yeah.
Now.
He's got the biggest collection.
Oh, yeah.
What about Bernie?
Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, I'm going to let you try to guess what Bernie Sanders drives, okay?
Okay, let me go down the list of cars I think it could be, starting with the Chevrolet Chevette. No?
Close. Okay. An Aveo. He has a Chevy Aveo.
Oh, are you serious? Oh,
yep. He has a 2010 Chevy Aveo LT.
Oh, my
right?
God. All right, Yugo. He likes interesting cars. How about a Yugo?
No, not a Yugo. Actually, one of his cars is one of your sponsors, so.
What? What is it?
It's his wife's
Subaru.
Subaru Forester.
Oh, of course. He's from, where is he from? New Hampshire.
Vermont,
whatever.
Yeah, but that's, you know, he's, and I can't fault him for that choice.
That's
the Aveo, you got to question his sanity, but that's his wife's car. So that's why the Subaru Forester makes more sense. So
that's hilarious.
I know. Isn't that funny?
I would have pegged him as a Volvo guy, if you want to know the truth.
Did you pay? Yeah, Volvo. Yeah, I can see that. I can see him as an older Volvo guy. I don't think he'd understand the new Volvos because they're pretty bitchy.
But by the way, not that we're picking on these guys for anything, but we are. But anyway, the point is that Biden, his dad gave him that car, so it was his dad's good taste. There's got to be another car. He's got to have another car besides a Corvette.
Oh, he probably does.
It's probably a Buick
talking about.
Enclave.
Yeah, probably a Buick Roadmaster wagon.
Yeah, right. Which actually would be cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having one of those.
That is hilarious. It, so. Oh, my gosh.
So I thought you'd like that. So,
yeah,
and then talking about those cars, there is a car that has recently bit the dust, albeit with very little fanfare. The Honda Clarity Electric is being discontinued, starting with the 2020 model.
Really?
But there will be a plug-in hybrid, and the fuel cell is still existing. So it's just, they didn't sell very many electric vehicles of the Honda Clarity, which is too bad, because it was a really nice car. But I do like the hydrogen fuel cell. You know me, I believe in the hydrogen fuel cell vehicles before I believe in pure EVs.
Right.
Because I think it's more practical, although, you know, we don't have the infrastructure for it yet. But, you know, truthfully, the electric only delivered 89 miles of range, and that's not even close to, you know, the numbers that Tesla's putting up and everybody else. Even the Chevy Bolt was getting over 300 miles of pure EV range. So I like the way the Clarity looks. I like everything it stood for. The plug-in hybrid, I drove a long time for a lot of things, and then I like the hydrogen fuel cell. So I can understand why they're cutting back here.
You know what's funny about cars and people and their cars? It's interesting. No question about it. To see what, you know somebody, they're in the public eye, and one day somebody says, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he drives a classic Corvette. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I guess I don't, he's not that bad of a guy, is he? You know what I'm saying? It's like the car has such an impact on this stuff. But I'll tell you, I was behind a Jeep Gladiator Rubicon yesterday, pulled into the parking lot here, and I pulled up right next to the guy, and I said, hey, how do you like that? Because it's a brand new car, right? Guy gets out, nice guy. We start talking about cars and stuff and Jeep, and I said, I'd like to buy a diesel one of those, because they now have them in diesel. And I said, what do you do for a living? I just had to know, because, you know, you get nosy. He goes, oh, I'm the city manager. I went, you're kidding me. I love you, man. It's like, you know, it's so interesting, cars, how they bring people together. BJ, thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
BJ Colleen, the voice of reason in my life. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components.
Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And don't forget, we're part of Drive Tribe now. Drive Tribe, go and get the app, and you'll find out global news on the auto industry because they have Drive Tribe France, they have Drive Tribe Australia, they have Drive Tribe USA. That's my job. And guys that help me do this are guys like Josh Hancock, who's the Hollywood car consultant, our guy that is the guy that matches the car with the character in all things film and television, joshcar.com. It's got some inside stuff on what's happening in Hollywood. I understand, and I've seen a little bit about this new Batmobile, and they used to have these big old wild crazy looking Batmobile things that, you know, they were cool. They served their purposes, but we have kind of a bit of a brave new world out there, and Josh, I think you have some insight on this.
Well, first off, hello, Alan.
Hello, Josh.
Secondly, it sounds like Ted Baxter on Mary Tyler.
Hello there, Josh.
Hello, Alan. Yes. So images that were released of the new Batmobile show it to be a muscle car more resembling a Charger, a vintage Charger from the 1969 than anything else. So you're right. It's sort of, you know, instead of being this monstrous, unique design, it's going to lend itself more towards the muscle car world with a mid-engine.
What?
Yes. That's the other surprise is, if you looked at the car, you would just say, well, that's a muscle car. You know, it was inspired by a 69 Charger, is the feeling I get. But then the camera comes around and you see that there is a mid-engine, you know, in the back seat, basically.
Interesting. Well, you know, here's what this proves is that they watched what was going on with, Ford versus Ferrari, and they could see that people actually like cars. And, you know, the exotic stuff that they used to make, it's like, all right, let's think of something different this time. What can we do that is different that will cause a buzz? Isn't this interesting? This is all the back, the backstory.
I think that's a really good point. Also, my buddy Dennis McCarthy, who has built a lot, he's the picture car coordinator and shop behind the Fast and the Furious. He's built the last couple of Batmobiles. Now, I haven't heard a thing from him. I have a feeling since this film has started filming in London that this car was probably built in the UK. I'm going to find that out. I'm going to call Dennis.
Interesting. I just got another event. You were before the show started, and we were in the commercial break there. We were talking about how, of course, you know, South by Southwest has been canceled. The Geneva Auto Show canceled. There's an event in Los Angeles that has now been canceled, called the Human Baton Super Sport Relay Race featuring the Drift Driver Spotlight, postponed because of all of the... So I'm just saying, this is like there's a hysteria going on. And I didn't mean to break in there, but it's like it's happening constantly because you literally asked me, you said, are you going to that thing? Because Ford Motor Company invited me to go to a deep dive on the engineering of the new 2021 Bronco. And it has not yet been postponed yet, but,
well,
any minute, you never know.
I have a feeling it probably won't, because they're really, the line has become that they're canceling events with large numbers of people, and that will be a very controlled situation.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, there'll probably be 60 journalists in that room. It's actually a smaller group for that. They want journalists that cover for more than one outlet.
Right, right.
So I suspect you are going to go to that one. Now, you may die on the plane, but you'll be fine if you get there.
Nice. By the way, you heard me talking about Drive Tribe.
Yep.
Josh, I want you to start Josh Carr Drive Tribe so we can start sharing things back and forth there so we can be a part of each other's tribes. Please, it's time again.
Okay.
I started this years. Thank you, Drive Tribe. Go and download the app.
You just asked me in the last show.
Okay, there you go. It's all taking too long.
I have to yell with you. With
I know you do. All right, so back to the Batmobile. Yes.
Speaking of that, you're going to go on a deep dive of the Bronco. The Bronco Sport was leaked recently. There's full-on shots of it, and it's funny that this has been leaked because they've been so careful around the Bronco. And this vehicle, I've got to say, resembles very much the Land Rover Freelander. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw this.
Yep. All right, now, but wait a minute. I get that, and that's cool. Were we done with the Batmobile? That was my question, because you got me all worked up with mid-engine.
Yes.
So we were done. Okay.
The other piece that I have about that is that is not published anywhere, I don't believe, but I know from the inside that they have also created a new Bat Cycle.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Right. Well, you weren't very excited about that.
No, a Bat Cycle is much easier to create than a car that looks like a muscle car with a mid-engine. Come on. That's, you know, you put a couple of wings on a motorcycle, you got a Bat Cycle. You know, what you described there, you know.
There is a Bat Cycle that's at the Peterson that is the most unusual thing that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it doesn't look like the wheels are attached to it.
You're talking about the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles.
I am talking about the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles, 6060 Wilshire Boulevard.
All right, so this new Bronco back, so that now that I'm clear that we don't have much more than it looks like it could be a mid-engine for the Batmobile, the new Bronco Sport that somebody has leaked some photos of, I'm sure...
Yeah,
Ford Motor Company either pissed or they're part of it. Who knows? You never can't tell anymore.
Right. You know, last week there were some photos of the full size Bronco. Just they're photos from the production line, and they're just like these little. It shows the rear tail light and the rear spare tire. Did you see those?
Yeah, but I think those were Wranglers. I got to tell you, I don't think those were Jeep. I think they were Jeep. I don't think they were Bronco.
No.
I don't know. I mean, that's how they let it sneak out, isn't it? They take a picture of some obscure little corner, somebody that was in the factory, just in case they get caught. You know, because you can get in some pretty big trouble. Ford Motor Company is known. Look, they sued that guy. What was his name? Senna? Or no, that's not his name. What was the guy's name that sold his GT 500?
Yeah,
was that his name?
It was Senna.
No, that's not it. Yeah. Senna was a race car driver.
John Senna.
Oh, you're right. Okay, fair enough. I got it confused. Yeah. Not my job. You're the Hollywood guy.
Basically, there was a contract with the car that if you bought one, you could not sell it.
Right.
I think for 2 years, the latest Ford GT.
Yeah.
And what happened was he bought it, and then it went to a dealer, and that dealer was selling it.
Yeah,
but it was traced to him. It was his car.
Yeah, he's still the owner that was selling after he signed something. Do we know what they had, what he had to do, how much money it cost him?
I don't, but he did apologize in a big way. You know, he came out and said, I was wrong. And it's just amazing that he was trying to do it because it's just, I don't know. And now we've seen those cars actually being auctioned off because the time period has evaporated. And we're seeing well over $1 million for that car.
Oh, yeah. All right. Josh is going to sign up for Drive Tribe. He's going to create the Josh Carr Drive Tribe. And if you don't, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Great.
We got some good stuff going on. And I want you to, you know, want you to realize that if you're part of my tribe, you got to do what I say because I'm the king. The tribe's got to have a king.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Bow.
This is early in the week, pal.
Bow down. All right, Josh. Thank you. We'll take a little break. You can find him at joshcar.com. Josh Hancock, Hollywood car consultant to the stars. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX, part of the tough-and-ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, well, you know what we have not talked about yet, only because I completely forgot about it, is the fact that, our president called a national state of emergency, which actually loosened up $40 billion to do good with. And so who can I talk to about this? Because, you know, we normally just talk cars, but I do have one friend out in the world, a longtime old good friend. His name is Mike Caudill. You'll see him on Fox and Friends occasionally, and also Fox affiliates around the country talking about cars. And he's on the line right now joining us. So, Mike, let me ask you something. First of all, thanks for taking the time, because I know you're busy here on a Saturday morning. We do the show Saturdays, everybody, whether you're listening Sunday or a podcast. The president has now, you know, issued a state of emergency. Everything has been being shut down. I did see you traveling last week, but you're back home again. What gives?
I am home, Alan, and for your listeners, a little additional background. I actually worked in Congress. I worked for a U.S. congressman many moons ago when I barely had hair on my upper lip. So I was a youngster when I was doing it. But I'll tell you, I was actually on a serious note. I was in Detroit on Wednesday, and I do Fox 2 in Detroit and do car segments for them. Everything was a go for Thursday morning, but Wednesday night is when the issuances from the president started happening. So Major League Baseball, we talk about the NBA, and all this stuff started getting canceled out. And 11:30 at night, I was awoken by my producer in Denver, which is Fox 31, another station that I do car stuff to and for. And she said, hey, we're going to have to cancel. Station management does not want any outsiders coming into the studio until further notice. So instead of flying to Denver on Thursday, I flew back to Nashville, where home is, and am now doing what the rest of us in the auto industry are doing, sitting in front of our computers and actually working like we are in an office.
You know what? This is like a reboot. This is a life reboot for the whole world. It's going to give us a chance to think about our lives, to reevaluate what have we been doing right, what have we been not doing, maybe what have we been doing wrong, how have we not been being prepared for this. Look at the run on toilet paper. It's kind of crazy. But it's really a reboot because, I mean, I think, let me fast forward 3 months from now. Let's say 3 months from now, we look back and go, Tom Hanks is still alive. Now, if he's dead, I'm going to feel really bad. But, you know, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, you know, have said that they have coronavirus. A lot of people are starting to come out saying they have it. What's going to happen is it's going to blow over and they're going to get better because, you know, this is not Ebola. This is a virus, a new virus to America. And so it's going to take a little while for our immune systems to do whatever they got to do. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to take a break here in just a minute, we're going to come back and talk more. At the end of the day, we are strong here in America. We have resilience. That's why I'm going to play the song We Are Champions, because we are. And but we got to think about, you know, what is the economic impact of all of what is going on? I was supposed to go on Monday to Ford Motor Company for a deep dive on the new Bronco. Mike already knows about it. It's so unfair. But everything's getting canceled. Our lives are getting screwed and disrupted, people. Wash your hands. I talked to my doctor, who's a smart guy. He said, wash your hands 10 times a day if you have to. Don't touch your face. We're going to come back and talk to my buddy from Fox and Friends and Fox Affiliates, Mike Caudill. This is, well, we are champions. This is The Drive. We'll be back in a minute.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So in the middle of the week, I took a day off and I went fishing. I thought about it. I thought, you know what? If the whole world is going to die, I got to go fishing one more time. And then while I was out there fishing, I realized, what the hell am I thinking? This is a little more than a common cold. Yes. And we should be wise. Yes. What is wisdom? That's what we're trying to find. What is wisdom? What in this case is wisdom? Well, I think in the world at large, wisdom is right now, stay away from big crowds, wash your hands. You know what? Settle back into your life. Hug and kiss your kids. Tell them you love them. Hug and kiss your wife. You know, hug and kiss Mike Caudill, but luckily he's in Nashville, so I can't. Mike, any advice for people in this moment, in this time, whether we've got a state of emergency from the president and this virus? And I think at the end of the day, we're going to look back and go, you know what? I'm glad that I stayed to myself a little more. But let me just hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to get into the hype, right? And hysteria. Right. And I've been very vocal on my social pages about, guys, it's okay to have an adult conversation about this without getting into the hysteria. And I was having a conversation this morning with somebody about, and we were laughing about it in the previous segment about toilet paper, right? Well, everyone talks about the elderly are the most at risk for this, and who is being hurt the most by this toilet paper craze? Well, the young people, we all get up, we go run into the store, we go buy all the toilet paper, right? But guess who doesn't? My mom and dad. And they're the ones that are going to need it. So, you know, I think the president, I stand with the president on half of this. I really stand with Dr. Fauci. He is amazing, and he is, you know, the White House's chief medical guy on this. He's been all over the news. And I think, you know, if you look at the flus that are out there, you look at the avian bird flu, H1N1, that claimed 575,000 lives. And we didn't shut down borders. We didn't cancel football games. I mean, I got a bad flu over the holidays. And I mean, you know this.
Yeah,
man. I was down and out. I had pneumonia.
I wonder if it wasn't the coronavirus. Have you been tested? Maybe you've already had it, you know?
It could have been. 80% of the people are recovering from it and are calling it mild.
Right.
But it is at 3%. So there is a mortality factor to this. I just think we need like you said, going to the commercial, we are champions. Just pump the brakes, folks. Speaking of cars, use a car term. Pump the brakes and not get into the hysteria. This will impact, Alan, the auto industry. Yeah. People will not be going to dealerships to buy cars in the next month.
Well, it's the tipping point. This is the tipping point for the entire world to wake up and do things differently and start to, you know, reevaluate your life. But you said there's a 3-point mortality rate. I'll bet there's a 2-point mortality rate on choking on a chicken bone. You know what I mean?
Well, you think about how many car deaths there are every day, right? You know, you're talking multiple car crashes every day, and we're not talking 10, 20. We're talking hundreds of car crashes a day that claim people's lives. And that's, you know, something that we don't talk about. And the other thing is that, you know, we are a country that is news-based, and it's all about the hype, right? So when there's a discussion around AR-15 and guns, that's the topic for 2 weeks. And then when we have something like this this pandemic, it's the topic for a few weeks. Now, I'm not minimizing it. It's a very serious, serious flu. But again, remove corona out of the front of this word and just it's a flu. We'll have a way to deal with it and we will survive.
You know, it's funny. I wish I had We Will Survive. I do, but it take me too long to find it to play it. But I said something the other day, and it's worthy of repeating. Remember H.G. Wells, the movie The War of the Worlds? Do you remember? I mean, how did the aliens die? I mean, they were going to take over the world. They died from a virus, a flu. And I think it was the common cold that killed them. And,
right.
You know,
well,
so
I didn't have any for years. We couldn't figure out how to solve the common cold. What kind of medicines do you take? And right. Obviously that's all over the counter now.
Right. And here's the thing, survival of the fittest. So I honestly, truly have started changing the way I live my life. I've started thinking differently. That's why I took a day off from work and I thought, I'm going fishing. It can wait till tomorrow. It was a beautiful sunny day. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, yes, I'm going fishing. So I don't know. I've started eating differently. I'm actually now living it. Instead of constantly going, well, tomorrow, I am now living it today. And I think that's, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. So there's nothing wrong with washing your hands. All I can say is, you know, don't believe all the hype. Start to live it. Start to be a more thoughtful individual.
Love your family.
Yeah,
love your family.
Exactly.
Buy a Corvette.
Exactly. Go buy a car. Right? Because, I mean, if you're going to die and you know, who cares if they repossess? Who cares if you die with a bad credit score? You're dead.
Doesn't matter.
Mike Gunnell.
Doesn't matter, my friend.
Thank you, sir. They go by the handle, they, with Nick and Mike. OurAutoExpert.com. You can find them. A lot of Fox stations around the country. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take a little break. It's The Drive. There's another hour.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget that your friend, me, Alan Taylor, is part of Drive Tribe now. Drive Tribe, if you don't know what it is, you should probably go check it out. If you love cars and you love car talk type radio, you want to become part of the Drive Tribe. You can have your own tribe. You can join my tribe. I have a tribe for Alan Taylor, and then I have a tribe that is called The Drive, only because I manage The Drive page there. It's a lot of blather. Just go check out Drive Tribe. I can tell you, you'll have fun if you're a car guy or gal. My gigantic friend, Brian Armstead, 6'9". I was watching a very, very fun conversation between our other tiny little friend, Jill Simonello. She is like, you're 6'9", I think, right?
That is correct, Alan.
And she's probably 4'9". I don't know. She's like tiny, right?
She's tiny. You know, if she's 4'10", then that's stretching it. Yeah.
Right? It's like she is a little itty bitty. She's been on the show before. You guys might have heard her. My comment to their conversation back and forth about these cars they were test driving was, she's this little petite gal, and he's this gigantor man, and I'm just simply 5 foot fat. So I have my own issues. That's just, you know. So here's the deal. We were together. We're together on a lot of these events, and we were together recently.
Let's tell them real quick, Alan, what the whole thing was about. You know, she was complaining because she didn't quite fit in the Audi A8, which is a huge car.
Right.
And I kind of countered with, hey, you know, they don't build cars for you and me, Joe. We're at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
So that's how the whole thing, you know, kind of, you know, can you imagine if an automaker had to put extra metal in the car for me? They'd go out of business. I mean, come on.
Well, it's funny because I have a ML350 right now that I'm driving, Mercedes-Benz SUV. And mm-hmm. I also have an R350, which is like a station wagon. So I have one that's a station wagon and one that's an SUV. Totally different feel, total different driving experience. Both cars are black. Both cars are BlueTEC diesels. Both cars pretty much have the same drivetrain, but you have a car-based vehicle versus an SUV, which has got a whole different design to it, right? And so I've been driving the R350, which is this station wagon, and I finally decided I'm going to drive the SUV today, the ML350. I got in it, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is bizarre. I sit up higher. I didn't like the seating position, so I started adjusting the steering wheel, tilting it and telescoping it. And then I started adjusting the seats, tilt back a little more, lift the bottom edge up, and fill up the lumbar supports. And so when you get in a car for an average-sized person, a lot of us, you know, we do that stuff because we want our driver position number one, driver position number two, me and my wife. Right. We want different things out of a car. But when you're 6'9" and you get in a car like a Fiat 500 or something that's tiny.
Well, let's take, for example, Alan, the vehicles that we're going to primarily talk about today, the Audi S4 yep. and the Audi Q7.
Right.
The S4 is a rocket, folks. It just really goes like stink. But it's so low to the ground that I literally, you know, we'd get to a rest area, and I was like, wow, I got to get out of this thing again. it's a lot.
Well,
I'm a couple of biscuits shy of 300 pounds, Alan. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, water part to hoist up into the air. So
no, it's true.
When I was in the Q7, I simply stepped out of it, whereas my drive partner, who's also petite, Rebecca Lindland, she's can't be more than 5.5 inches. You know, she's a straight 5-footer.
Right.
You know, she literally had to climb up into the thing, and I'm just rolling out like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really a lot of fun when you see the different dynamics and how manufacturers have to develop cars for all kinds of different sizes.
Consider everything. We're going to take a little break. We're going to talk about the Audi S4, the A4, which is the meat and potatoes of Audi's lineup. And then they, of course, make the sporty model with the bigger engine and all of the S4. And the SUV, the Q7. Made by Audi. They've given them kind of some upgrades and freshened them up. We'll talk about what that is. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, brother, do you still believe in one another?
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. Our show brought to you in part by Kia and their rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. They've got a lot of good stuff going on right now. Still, my wife jonesing for a Kia Telluride. And now we may have to wait a little longer with this coronavirus stuff that's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a little upsetting, actually, because, man, life was going so good, and all of a sudden, bam, we got this new pandemic hitting us. I personally feel it's a lot to do about, not nothing, but, you know, a common cold. The common cold, the virus that, you know, actually kills thousands of people every year. I think 20,000 people have been killed by the flu, and in this season. And you don't hear anything about that when, you know, a few thousand people get killed from this coronavirus and the world is on its ear anyway.
Well, Alan, if I could just interject quickly.
Brian Armstead.
My former life, I worked with Voice of America, USAID, and the State Department. And one of the things that I did was I taught journalists around the world how to report from disaster zones, including hot infection zones, SARS, Ebola, dengue, avian flu. So the difference, Alan, is that the flu comes every year, and then when it warms up, it dies off.
Right.
This is new. No one knows if you can be reinfected with COVID-19. No one knows if it's going to die off when it warms up in Italy and when it warms up on the East Coast. There's no vaccine. Every year, everybody gets a vaccination for the flu. No such thing with this. So it's a real big deal. It's not in any way right now can be compared with the annual flu, whatever strain it is that pops up every year. It's just totally different.
Well, I think what the government has said is, and you're saying it too, we need time to find out what is going to be the true answer and what they can do to figure out some sort of a swab or whatever it's going to be, a shot, whatever they're going to end up doing. We just don't know enough about it. But man, I'm telling you what, when you see the auto shows shutting down, the Geneva Auto Show, South by Southwest, what's next? I don't know. I hope it's not the New York Auto Show, because I look forward to doing that every year. But it's going to change our lives for the, I think, the short term and the long term. In other words, get used to it. But we're going to have to live more thoughtful lives moving forward, because I don't want to get the common cold, the flu. I don't want to get anything. Right?
Right. And, you know, to automakers' credit over the years, they've developed really high potency air filtration systems
right
in luxury cars. I mean, the Audi has almost the equivalent of a HEPA filter
right
when it comes to being able to filter outside air. So don't panic, wash your hands, don't pick your nose, and then stick your finger in your mouth. All the good things.
Hey, you can pick your nose and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose. All right, fair enough.
There you go. There you go.
So Audi, let's talk about the Audi. You and I drove, and our friend, a lot of our friends that are in this industry drove this new Audi A4 and S4, the A4 being the base model, the S4 being top of the line. Quite a bit of money difference between the two and quite a bit of vehicle difference between the two. But that is the meat and potatoes of Audi's lineup. They sell more Audi S4 and A4, actually more Audi A4s than anything else. And the other vehicle we'll talk about later on in this interview is the Q7. The biggest differences, I think, were cosmetic on this vehicle. I don't know. What do you know?
Well, I mean, this is perhaps one of the biggest refreshes that Audi's ever done for a car. You know, I didn't drive the A4, Alan, so I can't really speak on that. I didn't even realize it was available to drive.
Yeah, it was there.
I just drove the S4. And I think the biggest thing about it, it's got the really cool virtual cockpit digital instrumentation. And it sits in front of you. Their touchscreen display in the center is 10.1 inches. It's just a lot of information right in front of you. If you choose Audi's virtual cockpit, if you will, the instrumentation, you don't choose it, but it has this optional embedded navigation system, which gives you mountains and hills. And you really see things in almost like a 3D type of configuration. And it's really, really impressive to look at. Style-wise, they have it's just an Audi. I mean, you can talk about the type of exterior clues that it has taken, and they've only, when they revised it from the 2019 model, the A4 and the S4, they pretty much refreshed every panel in the car. My notes here say that only the roof of the car that's the only original part from 2019 that carried over.
Wow.
So they've done an extensive amount of upgrading to the exterior.
All right, hang tight. Let me take a break. Hold still. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We got to take a little break.
Okay.
We're talking about the Audi S4, and of course, it starts out life as an A4. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Hear
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I probably forgot in the beginning because I know him so well. He's like family to me. Brian Armstead, AutoSense and Road Gear. So AutoSense for cars and all the cool gear that you can get for your car is Road Gear. You can find him online at Road Gear Sun, S-U-N. At Road Gear Sun, Instagram, Twitter, and all the rest. Brian Armstead, 6'9". He writes for Detroit Bureau, Traveling Dad, all kinds of places. Soon you'll be able to hear him at WTOP, their podcast. And he's calling in from the nation's capital, my buddy Brian Armstead. I'll do that again before we go, so if people want to find you, Brian, thank you for doing the show with us.
Yeah.
I enjoy your company.
Always a pleasure.
I always enjoy your insights on everything. We have a lot of deep discussions about life and about the things that you and I have done, and then we end up getting to drive together sometimes in these cars. But I did not realize, and of course, probably because I was having a conversation while they were giving the engineering speech about this vehicle, that they had changed it that much. Because the great thing is, if you look at the car, it's still, you still see an Audi S or A4. Of course, the S4 is much sexier looking. But they've changed things, and the one thing you'll notice if you look at them, the front end, the grill, is really different. It's strikingly different, and actually it's very attractive.
Well, they've gone away from kind of the egg crate type of design to more of a horizontal bar type of grill. You still have the single frame Audi large wide mouth type of aperture, but instead of having the blackout with the egg crate type of holes in it, they have little silver accent bars across the front of the grill now. It looks really impressive. You know, if you look closely at that front grill, you'll see cameras embedded. You'll see radar sensors embedded. It's all kinds of technology up front. And they also have functional air scoops trimmed in silver, which help cool the Brembo brakes up front. Because after all, Alan Taylor, this is a performance vehicle. It just kind of, you know, you get on the road and it just really, really moves out very powerfully.
Yeah.
Now, the S4 comes in three trim levels, Premium, Premium Plus, and Prestige, Premium starting at $49,900. If I recall correctly, we were rocking in the Prestige models at $58,350 base.
Woo-hoo.
And they feature a twin-scroll turbo 3-liter six-cylinder. And, you know, Audi S4s back in the day, Alan, used to have a romp and stomp and 4.2 liter V8. But, you know, people are trying to save fuel these days, and this V6 still makes 349 horsepower and 369 pound-feet of torque.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but if I was Audi, I'd have every press event in history in the Palm Springs location where we were based, Alan, for this, because the roads are just sensational and the weather is just off the charts.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful.
So we're up in the mountains, and we're driving this thing. It's just like, this is what driving is all about. It's just so much fun driving the S4.
You know, it's interesting. I know that you can outfit these things through the roof. And I know that, of course, the A4, like I talked about, represents the best-selling sedan in the company's history, believe it or not. But I'm seeing a price starting at $37,400 all the way up to the fully, fully loaded ones like we drove, $58,000. Look at the difference. 20 grand you can spend going from a base model car. And you can do this with all of them. I don't care if it's Dodge. You can buy the Dodge Challenger for, you know, like 30 grand, or you can spend 90 grand on a Demon, if you know what I'm saying, or 100. Actually, I sold mine for 100 and a quarter. But it's interesting how much technology now, how we can outfit these vehicles to fit our desired, you know, whatever it may be. You talked about Brembo brakes. You talked about, you know, the different engine packages and all that. But I want to say, for Audi's sake, that the car, the A4, the base model, is a fantastic car. And I just don't find people that own these cars, that buy them new, that, you know, put 100, 150,000 miles on them, that don't still love them and probably buy a second one when they're done with that first one. My dad used to say, no car drives like an Audi. This was 1980 when he had an Audi 5000. He loved his Audi.
I used to own an Audi 5000.
Yeah,
and
right.
I loved mine as well.
It's funny.
I think the thing really about Audis is that you can get the German sophistication that I desire when I drive a car, the European sophistication, because I have a host of different vehicles. I have a couple from Sweden. I have one from the UK, and I've got two cars from Germany. But you also have interiors that are just state-of-the-art, off the charts. No one, for the price points that you and I can afford, at least I can afford, does an interior better than Audi. I mean, when I get behind the wheel of the new Q7, we'll talk about that in a later segment, and in the S4, it's like, wow, everything just fits, Alan. It's just in the right place.
No, you're right. You know what it boils down to? They literally have the benchmark of quality, and you can go into other car companies that are 3-4 times the money, a Bentley or something like that, and then you can say, okay, here it is. This is what the Audi S4 has, that quality, that wonderful, sumptuous feeling and looking seats and interior and dash. And hats off, man. Audi's had this for a number of years. Everybody is trying to reach for that golden bar, you know, that Audi set with their interior, their engineering, German, all that stuff. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Audi Q7, how much of that has changed. And Brian Armstead, you can find him, AutoSense and Road Gear, online, Instagram, Twitter, Road Gear Sun. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brian Armstead joining me, AutoSense Road Gear, automotive journalist, 6'9", giant man. I would not anger this man. I have before, and it's scary. Welcome back, Brian.
Well, hey, I just want to say that this segment is being sponsored by Brembo. I just want to make a little clarification that I said the S4 brakes are by Brembo. I don't see that listed on the Audi site because the car stopped with such authority. I just naturally assumed they were Brembo's.
Right.
But rest assured, the brakes of the Audi S4 are, they clamp down with Brembo-like authority.
There
so that's
you
the
go.
Highest compliment you can give
exactly.
to a brake system on any car.
Yep.
So way to go, Audi, on the S4. And if you want a little bit larger, Alan, you want a little more luxury, Audi Q7, just a terrific SUV, one of the best ones out there right now.
You know, a lovely machine, I must say, because if you get out of an S4, which is a smaller vehicle, the A4 S4 platform, and you get into the SUV, which is, this is, the Q7 is the largest vehicle that Audi makes, the Q7. Can you skip a stone across some of the things they've done for 2020 with this vehicle?
I think the most important thing is that the new driving advanced systems are just across the board, just really, really high level. You have intersection assist. You have adaptive cruise assist, which is a level 2 driving assistant that works at speeds up to 95 miles an hour.
Whew.
And when you use the active lane assist system, prolonged hand-free driving activates an emergency assist function. It pretty much says, hey, you got to grab the wheel. This is not a self-driving vehicle.
Right.
And it presumes that you've fallen asleep. If you haven't retaken control, it presumes that you've fallen asleep or you suffered a medical emergency, and it brings the Q7 to a stop. It will use the cameras and will figure out where you are and will put you in a control stop in the lane of travel with the hazard lights on.
Right.
So, you know, that could be a little disconcerting to the folks behind you, but it's a stage stop. It doesn't just slam on the brakes and say, this guy Alan's in trouble. Let me slam on the brakes and summon via the Audi telematic system some medical assistance. So I think the real big story is that Audi continues with state-of-the-art instrumentation, their virtual cockpit, 12.3-inch screen across the dashboard, where you, the gauge cluster, rather, and then, you know, that sweeping panel, just like a piano black magic, all the way from the driver's side, all the way over to the passenger's side. And I think the other new thing, technology-wise, I'm not sure if this was on the earlier Q7s, Alan, they've got a mild hybrid system now when you opt for the 3-liter V6 turbo, and it provides 48 volts of power to assist you. It's not really for fuel economy. It's more for regenerative type of effort to keep the car, and with all this technology, from ever losing its electrical edge, because it's, you know, the standard system on this car is a 12-volt system, but the hybrid system is a 48-volt system. So it just gives you all that additional juice that's necessary to power the Audi virtual cockpit and all this, the flat screens and the MMI's text response infotainment technology and all these things that are, all this technology that's in these new Audis, Alan. Mm.
Well, let me ask you something. You blew past something I just want to clarify. You talked about the two things. You said it, you know, level two driving assistance system. We need to ask about level two and explain what that is just a tiny bit. And you also said up to 95 miles an hour it works. And the reason is it's a German vehicle, and in Germany they have a thing called the Autobahn. Not that you can go that fast anymore because of the traffic, but the speed limits are different there. So that's why, you know, it would work that fast. But explain just a tiny bit about this level two driving stuff.
Well, I honestly don't know what the difference between level two and level one is. It's just that as these adaptive technologies evolve,
it's like 2.0. It's like driving assist 2.0.
Pretty much, Alan. Yeah. They just become more, you know, it's to the point where it can be a little unnerving for somebody like you and I who just want to drive. So I like sometimes, if I'm not really careful and I'm changing lanes in an Audi or another sophisticated car, it tries to move me back in the lane because it has a signal that I want to change lanes.
I know.
Well, no, I'm not asleep at the wheel. I'm just trying to do my little Brian Armstead, you know, quick lane change without anybody knowing it.
Right.
Because in certain areas like California and Maryland, you turn on your turn signal, people are going to speed up instead of letting you in. So you try to, you know, you try to do the okey-doke and just dart over. But no, the car wants to drag you back to your lane.
Some of them are violent. Some of them are
lunging behind the wheel and you're not paying attention.
Right. And some of them are violent, Brian. You know how they like jerk you back in.
Violent.
Yeah.
Violent.
Scary.
And we will not name the German manufacturer whose car is just yanking you back into the lane, but it's not Audi.
I just drove that BMW, like, by the way. I know. It's interesting. Well, so all things considered, though, you're talking about all these are incredible technology. You talk about telematics. These are all technology upgrades, so we'll call them level 2, 2.0, whatever you want. But these vehicles are so wonderfully well-engineered. The interior packages in them are so beautiful, comfortable, and everything's kind of in the right places that I never remember, because I drive the car like a week ago now, I don't remember actually complaining about, that's stupid. You know how we sit in there quietly to ourselves. Why the hell were they, why would they put this there? You know, it's like, this is typical of journalists in the car. We just complain. I didn't have any of that with this car. With either
one of them. It's interesting that you said that, because Rebecca Lindland and I had the same conversation, Alan. When we got done with driving for the day, we started with the Q7 and ended with the S4. But when we were done with the Q7, you know, we got to lunch, and I'm saying, you know, Rebecca, there's nothing wrong with this car. I can't even nitpick about anything.
Right.
It's just so, it's like the comfort side of it and the opulent side of it. It's just like carved out of a single block of aluminum. Everything is just precise.
And, yeah.
and stunningly beautiful. It's just artwork.
Yep.
Performance side, you've got quattro all-wheel drive. It's just, and safety side, I mean, we could be on for another hour talking about all the safety technology, including level two, level whatever, that these cars now have, in particular Audi with their stellar safety platforms.
Yeah, no question about it.
It starts at about, yeah, I know we're running out of time here, Alan. The car starts at about 54.8 for the 45 PSI Quattro. And then the six-cylinder model starts at 60,800. Extremely well done. Congratulations, Audi, on the S4, A4, and the Q7. Terrific vehicles across the board.
Yep, nice vehicles. Very nice. And even from a guy who is 6'9", if he's comfortable, you can be comfortable in these cars. Brian Armstead,
and Alan, really quickly, build your own Audi at AudiUSA.com. Enjoyed being with you today, Alan.
Very good. Again, Road Gear Sun, S-U-N, Road Gear Sun on Instagram and Twitter. You can find Brian. Brian Armstead from the nation's capital. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX. Part of the tough and ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Subaru. Joining me right now is a buddy of mine. Let me just give you some of the cred here. Her name is Lauren Fix. She's the car coach, a nationally recognized automotive expert, analyst, media guest, journalist, author, keynote speaker, program host, a trusted car expert. She works for so many in the media. She's a correspondent for Newsmax, automotive expert for the Weather Channel, Inside Edition, ABC.com. She does a little deal with our buddy Paul Bryan called His Turn, Her Turn. She also regularly hosts on a lot of different radio shows, and I'm fortunate to have her as a friend and a pal. Here she is, Lauren Fix. Lauren, the reason why I have you on, I didn't even mention that she is, the president of the board for the and a juror for the esteemed North American Car Utility and Truck of the Year Awards. I mean, again, on and on and on. And she's an entrepreneur, and I love her. And she she's my buddy, and she knows more about cars than the average Joe, workaday Joe. The thing I want to talk to you about here is, have we hit the tipping point with auto shows, with all the big hoopla? Because now the New York Auto Show has been, you know, they've moved it to the end of August because of this coronavirus thing, and I get it. We don't know enough about the coronavirus yet to be smart about it, and it's killing old people left and right. Little kids, for some reason, aren't getting it. It's not as much of a threat, I think, as the normal, you know, the flu that we get every year. 20,000 people have died from the flu, and we've only had like a little over 1,000 or whatever it is die worldwide from the coronavirus. But it's a tipping point, because the auto shows were kind of going away anyway. I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I just did a four-minute Friday opinion piece. And last Friday, I was just shocked that Geneva had canceled. But they didn't cancel because they wanted to. It's because the Swiss government said, listen, there's not going to be more than 1,000 people in one area. We don't really care what you think. We're canceling it. Think about the millions and millions of dollars people went in to display their cars. They had the displays literally set up. There were people that kind of walked in the convention center afterwards with their iPhones, and everyone's on Instagram or whatever, and YouTube Live posting what they're seeing. And that was already done. So they did it all live. So think about this. Now you're, I don't know, you've got whatever car company, and I come to you and I go, hey, Alan, we just spend $7 million to set up this display, bring in press, show, and we have an insurance policy to cover, you know, a force majeure, they call it, to speak a little French. And I thought, okay, so why wouldn't the digital guy come up to him and go, hey, listen, boss, I got a better idea. Let's save a ton of money. We'll do it all online. We'll target the journalists we want. We'll target our good customers. And we don't need any of this auto show crap because who's buying a McLaren? People that can afford a McLaren, not your average Joe. Maybe they want to look at it. But those who are buying it, we'll just target them. Look how much money we'll save.
Right. But hold on. It's funny because, yes, McLaren, very expensive car. They can do whatever the hell they want. But interestingly, after they canceled the Geneva Auto Show, what did the head of Fiat do with the Fiat 500 launch? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. OMG. Probably traveling.
You know what he made, and he talks about it. He said, we're going to do our press introduction of the vehicle with a 17 or 18 minute video of him walking around Milan, Italy. And literally, it's just the president. I think he's the president of Fiat walking around Italy talking. And he keeps on, you know, popping up at different places. But he's talking about the launch of the new Fiat 500e, which is that's the only way they're going to make the Fiat 500 now is electric, and that they are 100% all in. And he did his press conference to the world on video.
That was good and very smart and very creative. And a digital guy pitched that. You know that, right? Just think how much money we saved. Somebody went back, they edited it up, made it look really cool and slick because they got the money and the talent for it.
Right.
Boom, it's up.
Yep. I know. It was like,
and you can see it as many times as you want.
It's amazing.
Why do I have to travel to Geneva?
Well, and here's the deal. It doesn't take any journalists at all to tell that story, because guess what? It came from the horse's mouth. And I thought to myself, this is brilliant. Uh-oh. But this is the tipping point, right? You know?
Yeah. But it's scary because this is what you and I do.
We've
known each other for like ever. And you know, whether it's SEMA or a trade show or, you know, CES or, you know, a launch or one of the auto shows, we see each other. And it's sort of like old homes week, and it's all journalists and media, and we can sit in anything we want. But that goes away if they can bypass us and go right to the specific consumers they want.
Well,
that's a concern.
Here is why the influencer, the person with influence, actually does matter. It's because people follow personalities. Look, Jay Leno, he's a big car guy. Lauren Fix, car gal. Alan Taylor, knucklehead. So the reality is that, you know, maybe people don't want to hear the PR speak directly from the president or the marketing person of the automakers. Matter of fact, I don't have them on the show very often because they, oh man, I yawn. I'm like, ugh, all right. That's why they need a real independent voice out there. That's us. We're going to still be here. Let's take a break and come back and talk more about this stuff. Lauren Fix, I'll give you all her information, but carcoachreports.com is her website. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And for a moment, with my friend Lauren Fix, the car coach, carcoachreports.com on the web, on social media, at Lauren Fix, L-A-U-R-E-N Fix, at Lauren Fix. You know, Brembo, one of our sponsors.
Great brakes.
Yes. What about racing, F1, NASCAR, other sporting events in the motorsporting world? you know, people are going to be afraid for the next, I think, probably 6 months or more to go out and to be in big groups of people, especially if they're international crowds, because you don't know where people have been. What do you think of that?
You know, first thing, when I heard the Chinese Grand Prix was canceled, it was like, well, it was kind of a duh, obvious. Kind of right. Saw that one coming.
Right.
But now they're talking about Bahrain. They're going to run the race without people. Now, how dumb is that? I mean, think about it. Yes, we watch it. You and I watch it, you know, on TV or online or whatever, or on the app. But if you're an F1 fan and you go, like, I've been to Melbourne for the opening of the F1 race, which is this weekend, and I'm thinking, okay, that means you lose all the gate, all the people that come in buy tickets. That's gone. So that's a revenue loss. All the people that buy food, that stay in hotels, that travel there, however, whether you use, you know, Grand Prix tours or you go on your own, and all the merchandise, which is where the money is.
Oh, yeah.
So now what? Now they're screwed. This could be really interesting. So you're going to do that with NASCAR, F1. You know, you're really asking for it because it's like watching a football game. Well, I'm watching from home, but how many seats are in that stadium? How many hot dogs, beers, you know, shirts, jerseys, pennants, whatever is being sold is gone. You just take a huge chunk out of your revenue stream.
No doubt. And, you know, it's funny. I was, you know, of course, you know, you and I do a lot of social media stuff, and that's the world we live in today. I saw an interesting one, and I thought, I need to look into that deeper. You may know the answer to this. It was a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. It said $28.95, and a barrel of crude oil, $28.95, whatever it was, right? And it was like, okay, so the question is, oil is kind of cheap right now, even with what's going on. And then everybody's pushing EVs on us. Will low gas prices affect EV sales, do you think?
I think they are, actually, and I'll tell you why. That's funny you say about Kentucky Fried Chicken. I like the extra crispy, please.
Right.
I haven't had that stuff in like 100 years, because you know I don't eat like that anymore. But, yeah, I think about it. You know, I'm looking at gas prices, and they're just dropping to the floorboards. I think if you're into stocks and bonds, what a great time to buy.
Oh, it's a buyer's market. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I bought some, I have to admit. You know, I do have some of my own little playing around in the stock market, but hey, why not? But on the other end, electric vehicles were kind of designed so that we weren't reliant on fossil fuels. Now, remember, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to buy these cars. It's a great solution. Well, what you're missing and what people forget is that all the plastic that's in those cars is made of fossil fuels.
Right.
So will that cause the price of plastic cars essentially to go down in price? Yeah. Not really. No, because it's something made in China, which is, again, stupid that we need to find some other places to make this stuff. But on top of that, you think about the electric vehicles and plugging in, they're starting to tax plug-in electricity because there's a shortage of it. Now, yes, there's solar panels and wind and all that. That's only 4% of everything we use. The rest has to come from natural gas, from other forms such as coal. And you start thinking about this, you're thinking, okay, why is this not taking hold? Why are people not buying electric cars? Because they don't want to be plugged in. Listen. Are you plugging in your phone right now, Alan?
No, I don't like being tethered to the wall. I get it. Believe me. I range anxiety, battery anxiety for my phone. I have an extra 2 or 3 batteries and extra cables. People think I'm a freak, but I get anxiety. I run my business off of this cell phone. I'm holding it in my hand right now. By the way, I want to give you a quote. Warren Buffett. Are you ready for this? Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. Talk about, you know, it's kind of what you said about it's a great time to buy, and it is. It's a great time to buy. All right, Lauren Fix, the car coach, carcoachreports.com. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram and social media stuff at Lauren Fix, at Lauren Fix. You're the best. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anytime.
Please, people, save some toilet paper for others. Everybody's got a wipe, okay? It's like, what is this run on toilet paper? I just don't understand it. Anyway, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel, with more automotive mayhem, because that's what's going on in our world today. Mayhem. Don't be a part of it. Just don't. I'm Alan Taylor. She's Lauren Fix. You can also watch her, by the way, abc.com. Her and my buddy, they're our buddies. Them, his turn, her turn. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Alan.
See you next week, everybody.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.